Welcome back to 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Now let's take a look and talk a little business. We've got some business stories coming up here tonight on the program. Let's look ahead on the economy and the jobs forecast for 2020. If you look on the surface, the record-setting Dow Jones average and the historically low unemployment rate has many analysts saying 2020 is in no danger of a recession. But what's not said in those reports is how these traditional markers aren't behaving the way they have in the past. So do the numbers lie? Or can we count on the big numbers to suggest future patterns in the U.S. economy? I can't make heads or tail of this. Here to talk about the future of jobs market 2020 are our friends from the site WorkingNation.com, Joe Lynch, who's the Chief Content and Programming Officer, and Ramona Schindelheim, who's the Editor-in-Chief. Thanks for being here. Good to see you guys.
Great to see you.
Yeah, you guys are here in the summertime. Had a great conversation about automation. We talked a lot about jobs, so it's great to have you here to talk about this. As we forecast and look forward in 2020, what are some of the things that the economy looks at when you talk about forecasting what the job market's going to look like?
I would say that the thing that you want to be looking at is quality of jobs. So we look at the numbers. They're record unemployment historically, right? But and more people are employed than any time in our history. But one of the things that we look at Working Nation, and we think is important to see into the future, what are the quality of the jobs? How are they paying a living wage? Are they paying a family sustaining wage? Are they paying better than they did, you know, a few years ago? Mm-hmm. And also, how many jobs do people need to, you know, take care of their family and survive? So we look beyond the headline numbers inside some of the other numbers that do exist, by the way, within the BLS report every year, the employment report every month.
Yeah, the unemployment numbers are low, but BLS still tells us over 11 million people have more than one job, have left the search for a job. Yeah. So those are the numbers that you're not hearing. We're just hearing over and over again, especially going into an election year, unemployment is low. That's what you hear. And
that's all we're going to hear in 2020, right?
We like to say at Working Nation that we need to elevate the conversation a lot more about underemployment. It is a fascinating area. It is the area to talk about with people coming out of college with debt. You know, what kinds of jobs are they getting? And is it something that then gives them a sustainable lifestyle, as Ramona was saying?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, we're not talking about the existing policy out of Washington or policy of past administrations. This is just about the job kind of market.
It's the reality as we live here now. Yeah, right now, as we're living through it, because – you know, it doesn't matter what they say in Washington or Springfield here or any state capital. It's how are you feeding your family? How are you putting a roof over your head? What job is going to help you do that? Mm-hmm. So that's where you have to look inside of it. And we stay away from policy. We stay out of politics where we are. We're trying to give people, you know, opportunities or tell them about opportunities where they can better their lives through training and find better jobs.
Well, there was a great piece in Bloomberg. It was a Bloomberg opinion piece about these are the most miserable job, great historic job numbers of all time. And they really looked at the indicators, saying that, yes, of course, the rate is down. But they looked at some of the gig economy and talking about part-time work and how all those numbers are off for where they should be. Because there used to be an understanding from analysts that if the unemployment rate was here, then inflation is here. If inflation is here, then the gig economy should be here. And all that is out of whack.
It is out of whack. I was looking at some numbers. You know, we talk about, are we going to go into a recession, right? The economy has slowed, but we're not in negative growth. I mean, we're not, I think we're like, you know, throw in a number, 1.9% growth in the last quarter. We will know, you know, in about a month and a half, I think, if this last half of the year, the last quarter of the year, if we went below that. But nobody is predicting that. But it used to be combined with the unemployment number. When that number started shooting up, you'd go, oh, we're in a recession. But now, it because of the gig economy and because of the quality of the jobs, et cetera, you can't use that as an indicator. And most economists say you can't.
Yeah, Joan, I'll ask. There's, you know, we've had, last time we talked, we got a little bigger than just the specifics. But is that going to mean, as this becomes a little bit more difficult for traditional analysts to read, meaning all the numbers are out of whack, are we going to see new models? Are we going to see coming out of – are analysts in general going to have to change the way they look at what indicators are?
Yeah, and we've had a lot of discussion about this. In fact, in November, we did an entire month. I think we talked about – we were leading into it last time we saw you – on veterans and work. And we had some fantastic conversations with people about how at the college levels and at employers, they are having to find new ways to tell the story, both from what are the opportunities that are out there and who are the workers that I need to attract. The data isn't telling all of it. So, you know, there's some fantastic Austin Goolsbee and Penny Pritzker released an op-ed this morning.
With Lynn Hubbard.
About how the community college system has to change. So that's economists, business leaders, educators getting together and saying, this model isn't working.
Right.
And these numbers are not telling you what's really going on. And that's been our experience. We tell all of our stories through human beings, not just about the numbers. And I will tell you, in the last 5 years since we really got this going, there's a hopelessness around this country and a fear across the board because these numbers are thrown out so often. Mm-hmm. And people hear, oh, low unemployment. That's not my experience. And I have, you know, my parents are living with me. My kids came out of school and they're living with me. I have two jobs. We really need to get some new numbers. We need to get numbers in terms of even unemployment, in terms of retention. You know, people going into jobs, how long are they staying there? Are we keeping them? So overall, I think in the next couple of years, we're hopeful that some of these folks and leaders are going to start to come up with some new ways to track.
Yeah. WorkingNation.com is the website, and Joan Lynch is the Chief Content and Programming Officer, and Ramona Schindelheim is the Editor-in-Chief. Both here in studio tonight. We're talking a little bit about the jobs market and the jobs forecast for 2020. All that being said, and I want to get into what it means to have a quality job, and that'll be next. But you look at the numbers, and you look at the overall number, the top number of unemployment, it keeps going down. Or we're just in historic areas.
We're at
areas.
50-year low. At 3.5%.
I mean, amazing to think about how much emphasis was put on that number just 10 years ago, and to see how low it is now. It has to be a positive story. It can't just be, well, look at the numbers underneath. There has to be some positivity coming out of it.
More people. Well, here's something positive. More people are employed now than they were any time in history. But then again, there are more people than any time in history.
Okay.
So I used to get the nickname when I was at ABC of the Angel of Economic Doom because
great nickname.
I actually put it in my signature for a while because I thought it was really funny. But I do look at the reality of the situation. It's great to be able to say 3.5% unemployment, but that's people participating in the workforce and looking actively for work. And there's so many other factors that fall apart. So as Joan said, there's got to be a better way to tell it. There's got to be a better way to tell it because that one number is not going to do it.
Right.
And I don't mean to get away from, is there nothing positive? There are positive things. There are educators and policymakers in local government in particular, and corporations even, and some other nonprofits that are trying to find a way to communicate that story of there is hope out there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sit at home and not look for work. You could take a class that maybe will take you 5 quarters at a community college, and you could come away with a quality job.
Well, we heard that when the economy was struggling to come back, the numbers would come out. I remember this, the jobs report would come out, and it'd be, you know, a number would be going down. But anyone who was around the actual number would tell you, well, you're not talking about the underemployed. You're not talking about the people who left the job market. Are we still talking about those people? I mean, is that a true fact of people that have left the job market have an effect on what the percentages of the unemployment rate?
It doesn't change the percentage. That's a very specific measure, which is the number of people actively looking for work over a measurement and the percentage of them who have found work. So out of, I'm going to say, if you're using number 100, only 3.5 people haven't found a job. So 100 people looking for work, 3.5 haven't found it. But it really doesn't take into effect all those people who gave up because they're saying, I can't get a job. Joan mentioned the veterans. The unemployment rate with them is the exact same, but only half of all veterans are actually looking for work.
Mm.
And some of it because they don't feel like they have the skills. Some of them are trying to go into education, which is great. Older workers. So you hit 40. A lot of people consider 40 to be beginning to be old. And so people start worrying, oh, you can't understand technology.
Right.
You are not going to be here. Your healthcare costs are going to just bankrupt my company. There are so many reasons that maybe an older worker might not get it. So then they may drop out of the labor force. And then another problem is opioid addiction across the country, but a lot of times in the Rust Belt. That has removed a lot of people from the workforce, so they're not counted either. I do sound like the angel of economic doom
here in studio.
I'm so sorry.
No, Ramona Schindelheim is the editor-in-chief of WorkingNation.com. Joan Lynch is here as well, a chief content and programming officer.
Positive.
Joan, we'll focus on you for the positive. But overall, I guess the question, because when we talked in the summertime, you guys were talking about launching this project and talking really about work and the future of work and what it means. As you guys, and now we're here into 2020, are you looking at the topic differently because of immersing yourself in this? I mean, are you learning things about what work is or what the job market is because of the work you're doing with Working Nation?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've learned probably the most is that there needs to be better communication about what opportunities are out there. You know, people, for the most part, want to work. That's what we're finding. They want to work, and they'll do what they need to get the training, but they don't have the information. So one of the things that we are looking to do this year is to talk about the biggest job growth areas. Mm-hmm. We are talking this spring really about the environment and jobs. And one of the reasons that I say that is from a story perspective, you know, we have a very active population in this country who are willing to go out and march for what they want and demand what they want. The environment is a huge topic in this country. There's a remarkable growth in job opportunities and programs and things that you can do if that's what you're passionate about. But where is that communicated? Where, you know, I'm certainly talking to a lot of people where they're saying my kids in high school or even in college are not hearing that. You know, you're passionate about the environment. There's multitude of areas with a high school diploma and apprenticeship all the way through a graduate degree where you could in water and in air and pollution and
even architecture.
Architecture.
We're talking about green buildings.
It's really remarkable the job opportunities that are out there. And also on a, you know, Ramona, the doom, you know, there's certain areas where, you know, you're going to see 14-15% growth in areas like healthcare. There's going to be, you know, 1.9 million jobs added. There's great opportunity. And that's what we really try to talk about. We talk a lot about the solutions. So you will see us talking about the numbers, and you will say we say you need to look below it. But in the end, where we like to be is to say, here's the solutions. Here are the programs around the country. And here's your opportunity. And we're not going to send you into a job where or a path where you can't make a living. There are some really fantastic opportunities.
Well, it's a great transition to what is a quality job in 2020. I think that we've all kind of had a concept, and different generations have a concept of what a quality job is. But that, I mean, just the world around us has changed so much. What do you see, Ramona, as a quality job?
I see it as a job that will help you, you know, pay for, again, I put a roof over your head, feed your family, send them to college if they want. But it's different. The amount of pay is different depending on where you live. If you live in Lexington, Kentucky, it's going to be different than if you live in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's just the cost of living is different. I think people want a sense – a quality job also includes something very important, which is a sense of purpose and a sense of dignity. People want a job that they can be proud of. We talk – I think we mentioned this – I mentioned this last time. My father worked in manufacturing all of his life. He got up, went to work, came home, but he made a good living for the times and for the family in Aurora, Illinois, you know. But he didn't get that necessarily that sense of a purpose in his life other than being able to take care of his family. But I think now people are more interested in that, and that makes a quality job. You know, you don't want to be in debt. You want to be able to pay off your college debt.
Right.
It was interesting when we were talking about the veterans that a lot of the time we fell back to this conversation about how a lot of the veterans went in and they wanted, when they came out, they wanted to continue to have service as a part of what they were doing. It was what they missed the most coming out and going into some of these jobs with these companies that were, you know, saying that they're going to hire a ton of veterans. And what we ended up seeing and hearing was people outside of the veteran space saying, that's what we want as well. Back to what Ramona's saying about purpose and life is, how can I create some level of service? And one of the other areas, I'm going to be positive again, you can be negative.
I was trying to be positive.
Is another topic that we talk about again. There's a giant growth coming in the not-for-profit space in terms of jobs.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that, yeah.
We just did an article on our website, but there's over 12 million people in this country employed in the not-for-profit space. A great opportunity for you to have service. We were just talking about some programs or stories we've done about people that are incarcerated. Great programs out there that are employing.
They will change
people.
Your life.
They will change your life. Yeah. So it's fun for us to be able to tell those stories so that we're not always depressing people.
Just to be clear about this. I'm the one who brought it up. I blame myself. But I do see optimism. I've worked at a lot of different places as a business journalist. This is the most satisfying. Talk about purpose in your life and in a job. This is the most satisfying for me in my career as a business journalist because I can point people in the right direction to the right path for a job that may satisfy them or that will pay them or will make them have a good life.
Right.
And we totally wish that other people would pick up those positive stories and pass those along or go to workingnation.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, here's the last question I'll ask you. Just is about, we're going to hear so much about jobs. Jobs in 2020. It's an election year, and whether it's at the national platform or local, it's going to be all about whatever jobs move. So what should, beyond the idea of just not taking for face value what a politician might say about the job number, what else should we be paying attention to? From your perch at Working Nation, what should we be paying attention to as consumers or voters or whatever when people start talking about jobs and saying, throwing numbers and things at us?
I think some of the trends that are the most interesting now are looking at corporations, companies that are changing the way that they talk about skill set. So the Googles of the world that are saying we no longer require a four-year degree. Mm. I think for people to understand and to be looking into the fields that they're hoping to go into and look for the companies that are really progressive and saying we're re-engineering because we need to. And also to look at the companies that are watching how quickly technology is changing, watching as retirement rates go up or down in certain areas and healthcare jobs and other, and saying what is the retraining or the training process for employees. If you're going into a company, they might have a job open, but where is that company going? There's a lot of changes, and as we say, slope of the curve. The jobs are changing very quickly. Mm. So you could be going into a job that will be gone within a year or two. So what does that company do in terms of training?
Right.
And I'd like to add to that, and again, not to get into the politics of it, but listen to what people say. Are they just spouting that number? Are they just saying, unemployment is here? Are they talking about solutions? Are they talking about a program that's going to work in your community? So if you listen on a local level, which, again, we always say all solutions are local because again, what you need in one city, you may not need in another. So are people talking specifics or are they just using that number for their benefit one way or the other?
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
WorkingNation.com is the website. Joan Lynch is the Chief Content and Programming Officer and Ramona Schindelheim, Editor-in-Chief. Always a pleasure to have you both in studio. I look forward to the next conversation.
Thanks for having us back.